Why don't you remain standing for the reading of the word? It's a short passage. I'll read from Galatians 5, verse 1, and then drop down to verses 13 through 15. Hear now the word of God. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. It's Monday morning. My day is about to begin. The clock is ticking for me to get to work, but I didn't have a quiet time yet. If I miss a quiet time, will God still be with me today? Thank you. And speaking of quiet times, when I have my prayer time, how long should I pray? And I noticed that in my prayers, my mind drifted. Will God still accept those prayers? And when I did read the Bible, that passage I read today, I didn't quite understand it. Will God bless it? What about if I didn't show proper reverence for the Bible this morning? Now it's time for work, and I better share the gospel, because I've been told I have to share the gospel wherever I go. As a matter of fact, how is my faith today? What if I have doubts? And what about my anxiety? I've been told being anxious is a sin, and so am I even a Christian? I'm not even sure today. Well, I got through the day, I can go home and go to exercise, but it's yoga, and I was told I can't do yoga because I will be drawn into Eastern mysticism away from God. And then I can go out tonight, but what do I wear? What will God find acceptable? What part of my knees can I show or not show? Well, there's an election coming soon, and I better figure out all the right positions, because I've been told if I accept so-and-so or not accept it, I'm not a genuine Christian. Well, it's been a long day. It's time to watch television. Can I laugh at that joke? Is God displeased with me? Should I have spent that half hour doing something more spiritual? And now we have Halloween. Am I allowed to celebrate Halloween? Will God look down on me wrongly if I give out candy? Can I wear a costume? Does the costume have to be a Bible character? And then there's all the gender roles. I'm a man. Can I wash dishes? Do I always have to be in charge of everything? Am I manly enough? I don't even like sports. And if I'm a woman and I can't teach a man, can I share with my husband something I'm learning? Can I ever lead devotions? What happens if I'm sharing and a man walks in the room? And dare I think about working outside the home? When is that acceptable to God? What if I work 1 hour a week, or the kids are when they're at school? Speaking of schooling, never mind. As a matter of fact, am I even in the will of God? So many decisions to make. How do I know what God wants? Who does God want me to marry? And am I even listening to God's voice? What if I missed it? What if God is speaking to others and not to me? And I've been a bit depressed lately. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? Do I need to memorize more scripture? Well, today, congregation, we celebrate the Protestant Reformation. That's where the church recovered a right understanding of the gospel that set people free from all the works, the lack of assurance, the man-made rules in the Roman Catholic system. There's an irony alert here, right? You all see it. Are you sure you believe this? If you are a Protestant, what are you protesting? Martin Luther was a monk who dedicated his life to God, and Luther did not want to make one mistake before God. So he prayed 8 times a day, and I don't mean short prayers. When they prayed 8 times a day, they were long prayers. He did penance for his sins. He found ways to suffer. And he worked himself to the bone to be the best monk in the monastery. But after all that, he wrote, "Though I lived as a monk without reproach, I felt that I was a sinner before God with an extremely disturbed conscience. I could not believe that he would be placated by my satisfaction." Luther realized he could never do enough to feel comfortable with a God who requires so much. He never had peace. He never knew freedom until he discovered Romans 1, the righteous will live by faith, not by works. We are made right with God, not by what we do, but what Christ did for us, and by placing our faith in him, not by any suffering or duty. And so in trusting in what Christ did on the cross, we are fully forgiven and declared righteous. And at that moment, we are adopted into God's family, his beloved child forever. That means you are free. You are free not to live every day to try to impress God enough to bless you. This was the glorious truth Paul preached to the Galatians. But it wasn't long before men came in to steal away their freedoms. They told them it's not enough to believe in Christ. You must follow the laws of Moses. You must do more if you want God's blessing and favor. Paul's response is in verse 1 of our passage. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." The gospel freed you from trying to measure up every moment of the day to God. You are free. Now that raises a question. If we're free, why would we go back to slavery? Why would we go back to a time when we never could do enough to know that we're safe with God? And that's the question he asked in verse 13. "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh." Now you hear that word flesh and you say, aha, see what happens if you don't live every moment in perfection? You will end up with sins of the flesh, sexual sins. Paul isn't talking about sexual sins here. That wasn't the problem with the Galatian Christians. They weren't indulging in that way. To live for the flesh here is to live in a religion focused on you, focused on yourself, what you do every moment, how you feel every moment. That's how you obtain God's favor and blessing on you. That is a self-indulgent religion, Paul writes. Any hyper-focus on the self is trusting in the flesh. We do not have to live like this because we are free in Christ. Now that raises another question. So if we're free, what do we do with this freedom that Christ purchased for us? Well, look at verse 13. He answers that for you. Rather than focus on yourself, rather serve one another humbly in love, the apostle writes. You see, if I'm spending every waking moment thinking about myself, how I feel, what I should be thinking and doing, you know what I have no time for? You. Others. Self-focused religion says, you have been saved, now spend your life proving it. Christianity says, you have been saved, now go love your neighbor. That's what Paul is adjusting in their legalistic thinking. Luther said it this way, God doesn't need your works, your neighbor does. All those works you would have done to placate God, the Bible says, now go give those to other people. You're already safe with God. Other people need your Christianity. They need your good works. They need Christ's love. Your religious life now is outward focused, not inward focused. Just like Christ's life was outward focused. Jesus was always thinking of us, of his disciples, of you, and of me. And so Christianity asks the question, now that I'm forgiven, now that Christ has saved me, how do I live this out? And the answer is, love your neighbor as yourself. Take the love of Christ he's just given you and love others. That's Christianity lived out. Christ did not live and die for himself. He lived and died for others. And so the question is not how do I feel every moment, but how can I be a blessing to others today? How can I be a good example to them? How can I care for their needs, whether in my home, my marriage, my church, my neighborhood, or at work? See, a preoccupation on self, which is what was happening during the Middle Ages, about personal holiness, getting everything right, caused the gospel to begin to disappear slowly from the churches. There's no freedom in that type of religion. Luther has another famous saying that's often misunderstood. The saying is, love God and sin boldly. Now, he did not mean love God and go do whatever you want in life, sinfully. He was writing to his friend, Philip Melanchthon. Melanchthon was still struggling with all those Roman Catholic practices. How many times a week should I take communion? How often should I fast? How long should my prayers be? So he wrote a letter to Luther wanting to know how to do this. And Luther responded in the letter, love God and sin boldly. What he meant by that is, Philip, just admit you're a sinner. You're never going to do enough. So love God for what he's done for you and admit boldly that you're a sinner, is what he meant by that. Let your faith in Christ be bold. John Calvin wrote that if you do not understand your freedom in Christ, you will not understand justification, because the two go together. In justification, God accepts you as you come to him with nothing because Christ represents you. He lived and died for you. That's the basis of your being declared right before God. Now, if you become a Christian and you live your whole life worrying at any moment, you're going to lose God's favor. If you don't get everything right or feel the right way, you really don't understand justification. And so Calvin said, those two concepts go hand in hand. Now, there's always an objection, and the objection is, what about personal holiness? Well, notice how Paul answers that in verse 14. The entire law is summed up in this phrase, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, when you live for God, not focused on you, but focused on others, you are fulfilling the law. You are living a holy life. After all, if you love your husband or wife, you won't be committing adultery. If you love the people you work for, you want to be a good example of a Christian in your work ethic. If you love people, you're not using them. And so loving others is the Christian life, Paul can write. Do you wonder why so many churches, and we are not immune, by the way, but do you wonder why so many churches who hold to the Protestant Reformation doctrine on paper are not very friendly places? Not a lot of love, a very critical and cold spirit. It's because they've adopted a self-focused religion. And when you adopt a self-focused religion, everyone else is there to compare with, to compete with. Who's more holy at the moment, me or them. But a Christian religion focused on the gospel is, I am free. How can I help my brother and sister? I'm not competing, I'm serving. Now that began to happen in Galatia, in the church. They began competing. So notice how Paul ends in verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will destroy each other. You take this self-focused road to its conclusion, and you will lose the genuine fellowship you've enjoyed. You will turn on each other, comparing who has the most holiness, because you think it's all about you, and it's all about your neighbor. That's not freedom. That's always trying to measure up to God. That's always competing with others. That's not the lesson of the Reformation. The proper lesson of the Reformation is that your salvation is a free gift from beginning to end. Christ represents you before God. When he sees you, he sees his Son, and he is perfect. Christ did all the work, the living and the dying, in your place. And when you believe, you were adopted into God's family eternally. And so now you're free. You don't have to spend your life proving it to God. Now you are told, with the love I have given you, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the essence of the law. This is what Christ did. Be like Jesus. He loved others. And so, beloved, on this Reformation Sunday, you are free if you've trusted in Christ. Do you believe this? Do you live like this? But with your freedom, don't be subject again to slavery. Don't let anyone enslave you, but instead humbly serve one another. Let's pray.